When Osman Atalan returned to his tent in the palm grove beside the waters of the Nile and looked across at the fortress of the infidel, he felt exhausted in the flesh, as though he had fought a mighty battle. But he was as triumphant in the spirit as though the victory had been granted to him by Allah and the divine Mahdi. He sat on the precious carpet of silk from Samarkand, and his wives brought him a gourd of sour milk. After he had drunk, his principal wife whispered to him, "There is one who awaits you, my lord." "Let him come to me," Osman told her. When he came, he was an old man, but straight of limb and bright young eyes. "I see you, master of the pigeons," Osman greeted him, "and may the grace of Allah be with you."
"I see you, mighty emir, and I pray the prophet to hold you to his heart."
He proffered the grey pigeon he held gently against his breast. Osman took the bird from him and stroked its head. It cooed softly, and he untied the silk thread that held a tiny roll of rice paper to its scaly red leg. He smoothed it against his thigh, and as he read it, he began to smile, and the wariness slipped from his shoulders. Carefully, he reread the last line of the tiny script on the note. "I have seen his face in the starlight. Verily it is the Frank who escaped your wrath on the battlefield of El Obaid, the one who is known as Abadan Riji. Summon my Agajiers and place the saddle on sweet water. We ride for the north. Mine enemy has come." They scurried to do his bidding. "By God's grace, we do not need to search the length and breadth of the Monassir Desert," he told Hassan ben Nada and Al-Nur, who stood outside the tent with him while they waited for the grooms to bring their horses. "We know when and where he crossed the loop, and there is only one place to which he can be headed. It is 250 miles from where he crossed to where he aims to reach the river here opposite Khartoum," said Al-Nur. "We know he is a tough warrior, for we all saw him at El Obaid. He will travel fast," said Hassan ben Nada. "He will murder his camels." Osman nodded in agreement. He knew the type of man he was hunting. Hassan was right. This one would have no qualms about riding his camels to death. 3 days, 4 at the most, and like a little fish he will swim into our net. The groom brought sweet water to him, and she whinnied when she recognized Osman. He fondled her head and gave her a durra cake to crunch while he checked her bridle and girth. "He will keep well away from the bank of the river until he is ready to cross," Osman was thinking aloud with the mind of the chase. "Will he cross south of Omdurman or to the north?" he mused, as he came back to the mare's head. And before any of his companions could speak, he answered himself. "He would not cross to the north, for as soon as he entered the water, the current would push him back and away from the city. He must cross to the south, so that the flow of the Bahr el-Abaid," he used the Arabic name for the White Nile, "will carry him down to Khartoum." A man coughed and shuffled his feet in the dust. Osman glanced at him. Only one of his Agajiers would dare question his words. He turned to the most trusted of his men. "Speak, Nur. Let your wisdom delight us like the singing of the heavenly cherubim." "It comes to me that this Frank is as wily as a desert jackal. He may reason as you have just done, and knowing your mind, decide to do the opposite. He may choose to cross far to the north, then swing wide towards the mountains and cross the Bahr el-Abaid rather than the Bahr el-Azraq." Osman shook his head. "As you have said, he is no fool, and he knows the lie of the land. He also knows that the danger for him will not be in the empty desert, but on the rivers where our tribes are concentrated. You think he will choose to cross two rivers rather than one? No, he will cross the Bahr el-Abaid to the south of the city. That is where we will wait for him." He swung up easily into the saddle, and his Agajiers followed his example. "We move south." They rode into the cool of the evening, and a long veil of red dust spread behind them. Osman Atalan was in the van, with sweet water striding out in a flowing canter. They had covered only a few miles when he reined in the mare and stood in the stirrups to survey the terrain ahead. The tops of the palm trees that marked the course of the river were just visible on the left, but on the right stretched the great void of the Monassir, which after 2,000 miles would give way to the infinite wastes of the Sahara. Osman swung down from the mare's neck and squatted at her head. Immediately his Hagagias did the same. Abadandriji will circle out wide to the west to keep well clear of the river until he is ready to make the crossing. Then he will come out of the wilderness and in the night try to slip through our lines. We will lay our net thus and thus. He sketched out the lines of his pickets in the dust, and they nodded their agreement and understanding as they watched. Noor, you will take your men and ride thus and thus. You, Hassan ben Nada, will ride thus. I shall be here in the centre.